Scarlock was still protesting when I checked on him after a breakfast of 3 overpriced and overbaked corn muffins eaten next to 2 hungover and scowling cavalry troopers. As usual, Justin was nowhere around, having left with the dawn on some wizardly errand.
Plain hay just not enough for you, fellow?
I set the saddlebags on the stall barrier, checking to see if my old saddle and the worn blanket remained where I had racked them. They were still there, proof either that the inn was honest or that my gear was worth less than that of other potential victims. My still-shielded staff remained tucked in the stall corner, but I did not actually handle the wood, since the shielding disappeared whenever my hands touched it, unless I cast a larger shield. With little thought, I grabbed my no longer invisible staff and burst from the stable, looking around the courtyard.
Now stay still.
The noises came from the alleyway, and like many another perfect fool, I followed the sound until I came across 2 well-dressed bravos 2 rods or so toward the town center, standing in the morning shadows. Both looked up and toward me, the shorter one on the right releasing a woman in ripped clothing, then pushing her toward the brick wall behind him. The taller one already had his sword out, but he looked at me and then at my staff.
You're already dead, boy.
He gestured to his companion, the one who had held the woman.
Let's go, Bildol.
Without even looking at me or the huddled heap on the bricked pavement of the alley, the two strolled almost arrogantly toward the far end of the alley, the end that opened onto some sort of square where I could see wagons and horses passing. Around where I stood, looking from the backs of the departing bravos to the huddled and silent figure against the bricks, the back walls and iron-banded rear doors of homes or businesses remained steadfastly closed, the alley deserted. I shifted my study to the woman, who looked back at me blankly, unmoving, although her black eyes moved from my face to my staff and back. Tears oozed from her eyes, and her lips were tight. A reddish abrasion covered most of her left cheek, as if her face had scraped against the rough brick walls. Her clean, white, and plain blouse had been ripped open across the front, and she hunched her shoulders and crossed her arms as if to cover her breast, partly revealed by the treatment accorded her in her garments. Despite the gray streaks in her black hair and the pockmarks on her face, the gaps in her garments showed more of a slender and curved figure than she would have wished, as she eased herself into a sitting position without using her hands. Both wrists hung oddly, and the tears continued to seep from her eyes, though her mouth was set firmly against the pain.
Do with me as you will, Black Devil. Your days are numbered now.
I must have gaped. Here the woman had been beaten, assaulted, and nearly raped, and I had saved her from that and possibly worse treatment, and I was a black devil?
The Viscount will catch you.
I shrugged, feigning a calmness I did not feel. Since I might as well be hanged for a wolf as a sheep, I set down the staff and gently let my fingers touch her wrists. What exactly I did, that I could not say, except that with what I had learned from working the sheep and with something from what I had read, my mind put enough of the pieces together. My thoughts and senses touched the bones and flows and orders and disorders that wound through and around her system.
Oh.
She gazed at her straightened wrists. They're not fully healed, and I can't tell you when they will be exactly. Just be careful. At that, or because of the sudden lack of chaos within her system, she fainted, leaving me with yet another problem, and probably the local witch patrol gathering to collect my scalp. No one was going to be pleased, not the way things were going. Not Justin, not the Viscount, not the beaten lady, although she would be younger and more attractive than she had been in years once she healed. And certainly not me. Even so, I couldn't leave her unattended in the alley. That meant staggering back to the stable with lady and staff and hoping that no one saw. Justin appeared in the stable door, a bemused expression on his face. Bemused until he saw the ripped clothes and the bruised face.
A healer.
I shook my head firmly. Rest. Justin shook his head.
Bring her in here.
The cavalryman half grinned, half scowled, but made no move to inspect the merchandise as I stumbled into the stable.
What did you do?
Nothing much. I laid the woman on a loose pile of hay. I felt drained, as if I had run a K or so in heavy sand.
You idiot. You healed her. How many people saw the staff?
Worse than that. Used staff. Bravos. Then she cursed me. Healed her anyway.
I began to put the blanket on Gerlach. Justin turned to the stable boy standing there open-mouthed. Without a gesture, the youth collapsed onto the straw.
What are you doing?
Putting him to sleep. You'll get the credit provided you get out of here soon enough.
Leaving before the Viscount arrives with the local witch patrol?
The gray wizard stared at me.
How do you plan to get by the city guards?
Can they stop what they don't see?
Justin shook his head, then walked toward his saddlebags.
Keep saddling. Here.
Justin helped tie a large canvas sack of provisions behind the saddle. Nothing special, just faded and heavy gray canvas filled almost to overflowing. The contents had to represent a goodly portion of Justin's stocks. Then he concentrated, and the sack appeared to vanish.
Remember to do that. It makes you less of a target. I'll get your pack.
I finished cinching the saddle and put the staff in place, then remembered to weave the light around the staff so that it also appeared to vanish. It wasn't really weaving light, but changing the way the light reflected from the wood and steel, and the steel was the hardest part. A lot of steel, and you couldn't avoid the heat wave effect. That was clearly the case with the Brotherhood ships. By the time I had Gerlach ready, Justin slipped back through the open doorway, carrying my pack and cloak.
You'd better get moving.
What will you do?
What, apprentice? You're a free wizard who deceived everyone.
Thank you.
I didn't mean for disowning me, but he understood anyway.
I just hope you've learned something from all this. You're going to have to cross the East Horns, but you should be able to handle it if you take the South Pass. That's the one that the South Road from Jellicoe leads to. Now get on Gerlach and make yourself unseen.
He shook his head again.
And don't let anyone touch you. If they have any sense of order, it could unravel the reflective pattern. And please read the instruction to your book before you try anything else.